Locked On Kentucky, your daily podcast on the Kentucky Wildcats. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, what is going on, Big Blue Nation? Welcome on in to Locked On Kentucky, your daily Kentucky Wildcats podcast. I'm your host, Lance Dahl, writer for Sports Illustrated for various SEC-related things. But on this podcast, we take a dive into all things Kentucky athletics. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. You can make every moment more by visiting FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. On today's episode of Locked On Kentucky, we are going to be discussing the McDonald's All-American game, going to be talking about the four Wildcats that played in this one. All four Cats played excellent. DJ Wagner won MVP, going to dive into the individual performances. Also, going to talk about Kentucky's roster for the upcoming season. Going to ask the general question, as it is now transfer portal season, what do the Wildcats need? Going to dive into what I assume to be next year's roster and going to talk about what I think the Wildcats should get. Thank you so much for making Locked On Kentucky your first listen every single day. I want to remind everybody out there that we are free and available on all platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to say it again, subscribe to the show. Got a lot of fun content coming out as we dive deeper into the offseason, so make sure you are subscribed. You don't want to miss any of it. If you're listening on podcast, please make sure to follow wherever you're listening there. I don't know how I missed it. I get email updates about whenever you guys leave reviews. Really appreciate the most recent review. I believe it was March 9th. Somebody left a 5-star review. Really appreciate the kind words there. So, DJ Wagner won MVP of the McDonald's All-American game. If you guys did not see this one, boy howdy, it was a lot of fun. Normally, you don't see a lot of competitiveness, I would say, I guess, out of the McDonald's All-American game. And the announcers were saying as much in the second half as the, I believe the East made what was at the time a double-digit comeback to win this game. The announcers were continuing to say at the end of every TV break, man, this is really competitive. You normally don't see this. You don't normally see this much defense being played. You don't normally see this much much passion. If I'm not mistaken, last night was the record for most points scored in an All-American game. I believe the final score was 109 to 102. Might have been 110 to 102 after an extra free throw there at the end. But yeah, DJ Wagner was the one that stole the show here. 19 points, 7 of 14 from the floor, 3 of 7 from deep. Also had 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He did a little bit of everything. Before I dive into these individual statistics and what we saw out of these players, I want to point out something. Although I did just say this game was more competitive, I think, than McDonald's All-American games in years past, there was quite a bit, I think, especially at different times in the second half, quite a bit of, I wouldn't say street ball being played, but just a lot of careless decision-making with the basketball that led to turnovers, that led to some really interesting shots, especially from the West. So I understand that these are high school seniors. I understand that the point of the game is to go out there and showcase your abilities. So we're not taking this that seriously, but I do want to acknowledge that, hey, some of these statistics that some of these players got, I'm not saying DJ, I'm not saying any other player in particular, I'm just saying overall, it was not the most polished game of basketball, and I don't think the kids were trying to play the most polished game of basketball. If they were, maybe this game ends up a little bit more different than the final outcome. But DJ Wagner, regardless, I think he looked really, really good in a variety of areas. Transition is a spot that I think was highlighted in this game. It was really fun to watch these kids go up and down the floor. It was really fun to see DJ out in the open court. I believe a dunk from him was what kind of sealed this game for the East at the very end. Again, by the way, just an insane comeback from the East there after being down what felt like too much. DJ has been questioned when it comes to what he can do from the outside. The scouting reports indicate as much that he's not an elite shooter, but he can hit. But the thing that he brings to the table is getting to the rim explosively. Something that I believe 24/7 Sports said about him when we were talking about this kid last season when he committed is that he's constantly in attack mode. He's looking to score. He's looking to get to the rim. He's looking to blow by somebody. And we saw all of that on display whenever we got to watch this kid in transition among other Wildcats as well. I think he played up to expectation. And look, if he can end up hitting 34, 35% from deep, and he can be that guy, that bucket getter for you in the future, I'm content. Cal's not going to ask these kids, I don't think, to shoot a ton of threes. I've just kind of resigned myself to that fact. I don't think Kentucky's going to try to be doing anything crazy from beyond the arc. So Wagner, going 3 of 7 from three, that's nice to see that he could do it in that big of an environment, that big of a setting there. But I do think that what he does best, which we got to see countless times last night, is going to be on display for the Wildcats this year. I was very, very pleased to see DJ go out there and do what we think he's going to do this upcoming year. It just to see him in person in an environment against some really, really good players, that was very promising. Just a quick note, 4 Kentucky players in this game. You had Bradshaw, you had Edwards, you had Reed Shepard, and you had Wagner. All but Reed Shepard were on the East team. Reed Shepard was on the West with some really, really big-time prospects. Bronny James was in this game. He was a lot of fun to see. He kind of got shut down at different points in the second half by a couple different players on the East in the guard rotation. But just some big time names here across the board. Stephon Castle, Cody Williams, Aiden Holloway, Matas Bezelis, DJ Wagner, obviously, Xavier Booker, who is another big-time name, Kwame Evans, as some of you may know, Isaiah Collier, he's somebody that we've talked about quite a bit on this show, at least last year, Bay Fall, who's committed to Arkansas, Mookie Cook, who is a big-time player committed to Oregon, Ron Holland, as we all know, just a great list of names for the All-American game this season. So hopefully we will get to see these kids produce at a high level all in college. I mean, I looked back earlier at some of the rosters from previous eras, and man, these kids should all be special. By the way, a note that I saw on Twitter last night that I want to point out here: Wagner is the first Kentucky Wildcat to win All-American MVP since Michael Kidd-Gilchrist did over a decade ago. So that's very promising to see. But it wasn't just DJ Wagner that was going off. I want to talk about Aaron Bradshaw. I want to talk about Reed Shepard and the other guys that performed in this game as well. Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at FanDuel. The tournament is heating up. We are reaching the Final Four this Saturday. It's the climax of March Madness. And right now is the best time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, FanDuel is giving customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net, and it's all on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. So, don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. You can make every moment more with FanDuel. All right, continuing along here on the Wednesday edition of Locked On Kentucky, Lance Dahl hanging out here with you. Aaron Bradshaw, Reed Shepard, Justin Edwards, the three guys that were also participating in this game. I just got to say, man, I don't know if it was the environment that these kids just turned up because of what was going on with this All-American game. Every single Kentucky player on the floor, these four future Cats, they all looked great. They all looked really, really good. Justin Edwards looks way more comfortable with the ball in his hand than I would have expected. He finished the game with 11 points. Let's see here. Aaron Bradshaw, I think, was the third leading scorer in this game. He looked great. The fact that he was shooting as well as he did from the foul line, there were the three misses that he had, you could tell they were rushed. Like, it was very clear in this game that these players were not taking free throws all that serious. And it was a little not disappointing to see, but it was a little frustrating to see, especially if you were pulling for the West team, because they ended up going, what, 9 of 24 from the foul line. They lost by, what, 10, 9 points, 7, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I mean, you got to make your free throws. And I understand maybe this is not the most serious environment to be displaying your free throw shooting, but guys like, if I'm not mistaken, Isaiah Collier. No, it was Collier that had 5 free throws made, but he took like, what, 9, 10? I mean, you got to knock down your free throws. So Justin Edwards, I thought, was really impressive. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. He didn't have a block in this game. He made 1 3. He made 5 field goals on the night in total. Very impressed with what Justin Edwards did. Again, getting out in transition. These kids got out and ran. Obviously, it's not the most serious environment to play defense, but man, it was promising to see them just look comfortable before they got to the rim and scored, or they didn't on occasion. Reed Sheppard only had 4 points in this game, but he only took, what, 3 shots? He also had 4 rebounds. He had 3 assists. He had a couple of steals as well. So every Kentucky Wildcat here filled up the stat sheet. I was impressed with what Reed did. He had an impressive dunk in this game. Justin Edwards, again, flying to the rim. The lefty looked smooth out there. These 3 kids, Wagner, Edwards, and Shepard, all looked great. And then a kid that we have talked about for 3 episodes in a row now, Aaron Bradshaw. This kid is legit. This is a very special prospect. Is he Kevin Durant? No, I don't think so. But he certainly shows the range, right? He certainly showed with a deep 2 that might have been a 3 if he had just taken his foot a little bit off the line there. He showed that he can be that stretch 4 guy for Kentucky. And I don't think that it would be wise, like we said on yesterday's show, to play him at the 3. I think most of you guys would agree on that. But this kid, sure, he may play center some. I think that rotationally it makes sense to put him at the 5 while letting other players be highlighted. But Bradshaw is a true 4 based on the way that he was handling the ball. He finished with 18 points. He shot 45% from the floor. He made, what, 10 free throws, if I'm not mistaken. He shot 77% from the foul line there. He had 8 rebounds, a steal. He had a couple of different rebounds in the second half. He had 6 offensive rebounds in total, by the way. He had a couple of offensive rebounds in the second half where it's just like he was just among several players, and he was the one that pulled it down. He showed great effort, great motor. I think that's something we talked about with him in his scouting report last year. He is probably going to be the unicorn on next year's squad. Now, I know Wagner's going to be fun. I know Edwards and Shepard and Rob Dillingham is somebody that will also be showcased. He is a guy that can get buckets. This team should be really good. like this team should be really, really good this upcoming season. With Bradshaw playing the way that he does, if Onyenzo is able to slide in at the 5 and maybe let Bradshaw, I believe it. Now that I've seen it, seen Bradshaw play, I believe Cal's comments. I think that Aaron Bradshaw could realistically play the 4 while Onyenzo plays the 5, and Cal could play 2 7-footers. Now, would it be wise to start them both? That's a different conversation for another time. We're actually going to dive in just a second here to what Kentucky may need out of the portal. So rotationally, things may look different here in about 3 months, but Bradshaw is legit. He was the player that I was most impressed with out of the entire showing of the McDonald's All-American game. For a 7-footer to look that comfortable shooting the outside shot, now obviously he didn't make a 3, but he did have a couple different moments where it's like, oh, he can extend that range. He looked smooth. That jumper didn't look broken. It looked like something you could come back to. So again, one more time, very, very pleased with what Kentucky's future Wildcats did at the McDonald's All-American game. I want to finally get to here what Kentucky needs out of the transfer portal. I want to talk about their roster, what I think the makeup of it is going to look like next season. And then also, I want to dive into one individual player that I think that Kentucky may want to look at out of the transfer portal. I know we've talked about Chris Ledlam. I know we've talked about Jamarian Sharp. There's one more power forward that I want to get to here. Before I get to that, I just want to remind you guys, if you've not already subscribed to the show on YouTube, please go ahead and do so. Even if you're watching on podcast, would really appreciate it if you guys went over and just subbed. It costs you nothing. It's free to just hang out and join the ride. And listen, maybe you don't listen every single day, although for those of you that do listen every single day, I thoroughly appreciate your support. But there will probably be, no, I almost would guarantee there will be episodes throughout the summer that you're going to see and you're going to want to come back to and you're going to want to talk about with me or anybody else in the comment section. So make sure you're subbed to the channel. I would greatly appreciate it. All right, wrapping up the Wednesday edition of Locked On Kentucky. Lance Dahl, once again, hanging out here with you. What does Kentucky need out of the transfer portal? To answer that question, I think we need to go through what Kentucky might have next year. Starting with the point guard spot, I think that Rob Dillingham and Adu Thiero, maybe a little bit of Reed Sheppard or DJ Wagner, you've got four guys that I think at different points could handle the ball for you in your offense. But Dillingham and Thiero are going to be, I think, your two primary point guards. How much more time does Thiero get this year? That's a question we're going to have to ask later on this offseason. Also, there may be a concern with Rob Dillingham not being able to play for Kentucky. Could be a Shade and Sharp situation. I would be absolutely crushed if that were the case. I've not seen enough about that to speak any further on it. But as of right now, I think Dillingham's coming to Kentucky. At the shooting guard spot, you've got DJ Wagner and Reed Sheppard. So your backcourt, I don't think needs anything. I think it's cool. And I really don't think it needs anything if your small forward, Antonio Reeves, returns. It looks like there's a decent chance that Antonio Reeves does come back for Kentucky. I think it would make sense for him because he would get to play alongside Justin Edwards, or he would get to slide up to the two when needed in rotations. And then maybe Justin Edwards slides down to the power forward. The starting lineup could look really interesting. I'm going to actually get to that in just a second. But if Reeves comes back, you've got shooters with DJ Wagner, Reed Sheppard, Reeves, right? You've got your primary ball handler with Rob Dillingham. You've got Edwards at your small forward, who's somebody that can get to the rim and score. And then here's where things I think may need a little help. Aaron Bradshaw, I think, could be your starting four or five. I'm going to put him at the four here for this conversation. Aaron Bradshaw is your power forward. Behind him, who do you want? And you may say, well, we've got Damian Collins, or well, we've got Lance Ware. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think Kentucky can go and do better. I think that they can go out and get somebody in the transfer portal for a final season, or maybe as a junior. And I think that they could get somebody that would end up being more efficient and offensively more of a threat at this power forward spot. This is the area that I think Kentucky needs to work on. Because if you look at your center, you've got Onyenzo, you've got Ware as your backup, and if you need to, you can slide Aaron Bradshaw down at the five, because the starting lineup could look like this. Excuse me. Rob Dillingham, DJ Wagner, Antonio Reeves, Justin Edwards could play the four at 6'7", and then you have Aaron Bradshaw at your five. That could end up being what it looks like, potentially. But we don't know. We'll have to see. Like Cal said, he may play 2 7-footers. But I don't think that it's an outlandish take to say, sure, Kentucky's got two players on roster right now that may supplant things that may be just fine, rather, at that power forward spot as a backup. I disagree, and I think somebody like Jameson Battle could be a better replacement. In case you don't know who Jameson Battle is, he is currently one of the, I think, top players in the transfer portal right now. He is out of Minnesota, 6'7", 225 pounds. I think that he could slide in and play the four pretty well for Kentucky. If you don't know anything about him statistically, in his freshman year, he averaged 11 points a game. Sophomore, he was 17.3 at George Washington. Then he transferred to Minnesota. He averaged 17.5 a game for them while shooting 45% from the floor, 53% from three, and then 37% from deep. This past year was a bit of a step back. He went from 17.5 to 12.4, and he only shot 37% from the floor, period. This kid, though, in the past, outside of this most recent season, I don't know if he was dealing with injuries or what, he has shown the ability to stretch the floor. He's also a good free throw shooter. He's a career overall 79% free throw shooter. He averages 5.5 rebounds a game, an assist, half a block. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. I think that this kid would be a valuable backup or maybe even starter, and let him start at the power forward, Bradshaw start at the five, Onyenzo be the backup, and rotate it out like that. I think Jameson Battle would be a very solid addition and to round out what would be a lethal, on paper, Kentucky basketball lineup next year. So again, we'll probably talk about this kid a little bit more. If I'm not mistaken, he has been taking, he either took or is taking a visit to Indiana. I know that they're on the table right now for him, but I think this is a player Kentucky should pursue. After just looking at him on tape, he's somebody that can step outside and knock it down. He looks comfortable with the ball in his hands. He would be, I think, overall a solid addition, not somebody that would be a focal point by no means, but certainly a solid addition in that front court to complete everything. Maybe Kentucky looks elsewhere. I don't know. We'll have to dive into different players as we worked through this offseason. But Battle is somebody that's been on my mind for about 48 hours now, and I think that he would be right now the number one choice for me for Kentucky in the transfer portal if I had to choose. So that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Kentucky. Really appreciate everybody watching today. If you have not already checked out the Locked On College Basketball podcast, which is hosted by Isaac Shade and Andy Patton, they bring you everything you need to know on and off the court for basketball. You can hear from big-name experts, coaches, players. I hop on there every now and then. All these different names throughout the college basketball landscape. It is a phenomenal podcast. They are popping off right now. Again, the Locked On College Basketball podcast, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. I would encourage you guys to go check them out. That's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Kentucky. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On UK. You can follow me on Twitter at LanceDahl _, and you can follow the show over on Instagram. That is at Kentucky Podcast. Any questions, comments, concerns, you can leave them in the YouTube comments below, or you can hit me on the socials. I will see you all tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Kentucky. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.